I mean, they're claiming ownership of a human being by placing these tattoos on boys and girls.
This is a true crime update from the On Deadline podcast. We explore crime cases reported by Odyssey's radio newsrooms across the country. I'm your host, Lauren Berry. You just heard the voice of Scott Vaughn. He's a former football official who now owns First Down Healthcare and Aesthetics in suburban New Orleans. He's also the co-founder of a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping survivors of human and sex trafficking get rid of tattoos and other physical markings. We'll hear more from Vaughn's interview with Odyssey about the project later in this episode. We'll also hear about the release of a former pharmacist who was found diluting cancer patient medications. In Kansas City, Missouri, pharmacist Robert Courtney admittedly diluted cancer drugs over the course of a decade, impacting more than 4,000 patients. Close to 100,000 prescriptions are believed to have been diluted as part of his scheme. Courtney was sentenced to 30 years in prison in the early 2000s, but he was transferred to home confinement in 2024. The Dana and Parks team out of Odyssey Station KMBZ in Kansas City, featuring Dana Wright, Scott Parks, and Sam Stevie III, discussed the case this week, including a new development.
Robert Courtney was released from a halfway house on Saturday with 5 years left on his prison sentence. Courtney was supposed to spend 30 years in prison for diluting life-saving chemotherapy medication and pocketing the profits. 2 years ago, he was moved to home confinement, a decision which angered the families of his many victims. Courtney told officials he plans to live in Springfield. After his release, he will finish the sentence on supervised release, which means he can live and work in Springfield, but must check in with a probation officer.
Right. He can't live here. He would not be able to live here. I'm just telling you that right now without stating the obvious. There is no way he can live here.
He's a free man. He murdered people.
Oh, we don't even know the number. We will never know the number. I will remind you.
No fewer than 4,200 patients.
We had Mike Ketchmark on, one of the plaintiff's attorneys, mm-hmm. when we first heard word he might get out a couple of years ago, and there was this global outrage. Like, you and I can disagree about all kinds of things, politics, sports, religion. Yeah. Yeah. You start murdering cancer patients in their dire hour of hope, trying to beat that disease, you are not going to have a friend in the universe, right?
How is he not spending the rest of his life in prison?
I'm going to tell you, they were not able to get him on murder. They got him on the...
Delusion of...
It wasn't even that.
Fraud.
It was fraud.
Yeah. He has his own Wikipedia page.
The federal government ended up getting him on all kinds of other things because even though we had so many patients, like super locally and beyond, who had been through chemotherapy twice and the first time lost all their hair, the first time they were terribly sick, the first time all of these side effects, and then they go into remission, they get cancer a second time, and the second time... they felt great. They didn't lose their hair. Mm-hmm. Well, they felt great and they didn't lose their hair because he was watering down those drugs for profit. At the end of that horrifying chapter in Kansas City history, how do you prove, Scott, how do you prove that it was the dilution of the chemo that killed them? Of course it was. His defense attorneys were going to say, quote, well, a lot of those patients were unlikely to survive anyway.
They were
going to
die anyway.
Which is the most despicable defense, but it was the only defense that they could have for such a despicable human being. So the federal government went with what they could, and it was the adulterating of regulated substances. And I would have to look up the charges. It was multiple charges. They never got him on the murders.
Were these, refresh my memory, because this was 20-something years ago. Were these federal charges?
Yes.
Okay, why can't they go back and get him on state charges now?
Great question. That is a great question. and we would have to have Mike answer that. Because it wouldn't be double jeopardy. He was never charged with murder.
This man, you and I agree on this.
Yes.
And we don't agree on a lot. Robert Courtney should rot in hell.
Yes.
In prison.
Yes.
Should never. The fact that he is even going to walk free.
Is shocking. It's shocking.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
The pain that, and Sam, you're too young to remember the Robert Courtney trial. The pain that this man caused.
The ripples of that pain.
Yeah.
Through generations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grandchildren that did not grow up with grandparents. Children that did not grow up with mom and dad.
Tampering with drugs is not a capital crime. You're right. I'm not saying that he should be executed.
Oh, there are those that would disagree with that statement.
What I'm saying is he should rot in prison for the rest of his life. Robert Courtney, you and I have been in this town for a long time and have covered a lot of criminal cases. I'm trying to think, other than maybe John E. Robinson, somebody who was more evil.
I don't think you can, because he did it for greed. And one of the things, and we did ask.
And so did Johnny Robinson.
We did ask Michael Ketchmark to join us when he could, if he could. And he's probably in court right now. They're trying to track him down for us. One of the things he said was, don't ever think for one minute that Robert Courtney was sorry for what he did. He said, I sat across the table from him in depositions. There was no remorse. Huh. For what he did.
So there's no soul there.
No. I think he was sorry he got caught.
Hmm.
And I'm trying to remember, her name was Vera, and I would have to go back and look up her last name, but I absolutely remember her name was Vera, who was the hero that sort of brought everything down, because she figured out that, let's say, to make it simple, Scott, 100 vials of chemotherapy drug were going to him every single week. But he was then turning around and doling out 500 vials. Well, you can't make that math. She knew the record showed he had X amount, but the billing was for much, 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 much greater of an amount of product than he could have had. That's what launched the federal investigation. They tested. They literally went in, took some of the, I'm a patient. Here's my, he would look the patients in the eye, Scott.
I remember.
And hand over. Hand over the, how's she doing today? Scott, how's your mom doing?
Oh, she's doing good. Yeah, she's doing great.
Look you in the eye.
Yep.
Hand over the medication. And knew he was killing these people.
In a letter in opposition to Courtney's transfer to home confinement, Missouri Congressman Sam Graves and Emmanuel Cleaver said that it's difficult to find anyone in the region who hasn't been impacted by Courtney's actions. In fact, a woman who said she was one of the people who received diluted prescriptions called in to the Dana and Parks show to discuss her experience.
Linda in Blue Springs. Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I was one of the patients who did wind up with a settlement. He diluted my chemotherapy. And when I heard about it on your program, I remember that moment when they said he was diluting Taxol. I could see the face of this beautiful 30-some-odd-year-old mother of three, beautiful redheaded lady who just wanted to live. And I don't ever want to do bodily harm to anybody, but I could hurt that man. I will just say,
Linda, there's a reason he's not living here. Because this touched thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and it was 4,200 patients. I will remind you, Linda, most of them were cancer survivors like yourself. Some of them were HIV. It went beyond the scope of cancer. Cancer was where he predominantly pocketed the cash.
Yeah, because the FBI came and interviewed because I was going to get to testify about it, because there weren't that many people that actually survived this.
How did you know, Linda? How did you know? Did they call you and tell you?
I heard it on your program, and I called the FBI, and they said, yes, we'll want to talk to you. And I said to the FBI agent, I said, I have a feeling that he didn't just dissolve Taxol. And he said, well, I can't tell you, but you're on the right track. He said, but it was chemo and came through that.
Did you ever interact with him, Linda? Did you ever meet him?
God, he would pass this medication through to the nurses, and he would see us all sitting in a room. And then I would go out around and go to his pharmacy and get something like cold, like a popsicle or something.
Yeah.
Every 12 applications of chemo I got, I talked to that man. And there's nothing, I can't think of anyone more reprehensible than him. The fact that he's free just makes me sick, because I can still see the faces of my fellow chemo patients, and I know that over half of them are gone. There were only 1,044 of us left by the end of it that actually got settlement money, which was a joke.
Which was a joke. Yes, Linda, you are right. Everyone think, oh, everybody got paid. No, you did not.
Was he charming?
No, he was not very nice. He didn't talk to you. He was very quiet, acted like you were a bother. But, you know, I thought, well, he's a professional. He's giving my chemo. I don't care. But, no, he was not personable at all.
Did you get sick, Linda?
I think the first two times, I have lupus, so I had to have mine over a longer period of time, so I had to have 12. And the first couple of times, yes, I got a little sick and I lost some hair. But then toward the last 10 times I got chemo, no, it was like, oh, I'm not even losing much hair. I lost some, but it was, no. But by the grace of God, I was a stage 1 breast cancer patient, and probably that's what saved my life, is I didn't really need it badly.
Well, Linda, we are sorry. We're glad you're still here, and we are angry for you.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what one can do to someone like that. I just hope he lives a miserable life and dies a terrible death. And I should never say that about anybody. Mm. But I hope he dies a terrible death the way he caused other people to. Because he's a murderer. He's a murderer.
Odyssey has not confirmed this woman's claims, but you can tell the impact this case has had on the community from Wright, Parks, and Stevie's discussion. Just as the impact of Courtney's actions still lives on, survivors of violent crime often bear the evidence of what they've gone through right on their bodies. For some, this evidence serves as a painful reminder of their trauma. It can come in the form of scars, tattoos, and even branding like cattle in the case of some people who have been sex trafficked. Scott Vaughn's nonprofit group, Unbranded, is working to help change that. At his business, First Down Healthcare and Aesthetics in Metairie, Louisiana, Vaughn offers free tattoo removal services for victims of sex trafficking. Tommy Tucker of Odyssey Station WWL in New Orleans interviewed Vaughn about the project this week.
Tell me about Unbranded and what do you do actually?
Well, 4 years ago, we started Unbranded, and Unbranded is a nonprofit that provides tattoo removal for survivors of sex trafficking that have been branded by a sex trafficker. And what a sex trafficker will do, really no different than a rancher would do to his livestock. He puts a brand on his livestock, just like a trafficker uses a tattoo as a brand, that lets anyone know and everyone know in that particular industry. And I hate to even call it an industry, but it is what it is. You know, so they know who that boy or girl belongs to by that specific tattoo.
Because it's not a pretty topic, and it's one that could easily go unnoticed, but I think sometimes in order for you to get the help you need or other organizations to get the help they need, sometimes you got to talk about some things that make people feel awkward or that are ugly because they exist, right?
You're absolutely correct, and it is a very, very awkward and uncomfortable conversation. It's, you know, the things I see and the stories I hear are just, it's horrible that happens. You know, just, and people think it's a big city problem. I mean, I'm sorry, a small, big city problem, right. But it happens everywhere. I mean, currently, we have confirmed cases of sex trafficking in 62 out of our 64 parishes here in Louisiana.
So tell me, did they tattoo people like cattle, almost like you're saying, and it can be sometimes, you said, even a barcode, right?
It can be a barcode. Mostly, you know, we'll see a sex trafficker's name or nickname, or it could be a rose, a bed of roses, a lot of times behind the ear, across the chest, on the forearm. Really anywhere on the body. I've kind of seen the tattoos and removed them from all parts of the body.
Seemingly innocuous, but anything but. They're actually marking this person as somebody that is the property, you hate to say that, in this day and age, of somebody else, right?
That's correct. I mean, they're claiming the ownership of a human being by placing these tattoos on boys and girls.
How important is it that these tattoos come off?
You know, I always say this, and I've talked to many a psychiatrist about it. When these boys or girls go through their psychiatric counseling, it doesn't matter how many treatments they've gone through and the progress they feel they've made, but once they see that constant reminder, whether they look in the mirror or look down at their arm, it brings them right back to the physical, sexual, mental abuse that they've endured for so long. And, you know, some of the statistics show that a boy or girl can be forced to have sex like close to 1,500 times a year. Would you do the math on that? They can be forced to have sex four times a day, 365 days a year.
How did you get involved in this, Scott?
Oh, I had this technology in my office, and I had a patient come in that just wanted a tattoo removed. It wasn't anyone that was sex trafficked. And when they came back for their second treatment and I saw the amount of ink from that tattoo that was removed, it really kind of blew me away. And I just felt like I had something here that I could give back to the community and society with. And this is the path that God led me on. And I'm so glad he did, because I'm glad to be able to help and actually make a difference in people's lives and help change lives.
For people that donate, what's the money going to go for and what do you need?
100% of it goes towards the treatment of survivors of sex trafficking. No one for Unbranded, no board members or anyone make any money from it at all. I pay for everything through my aesthetic practice, and that's the way it's always going to be. So anybody that would like to donate would greatly appreciate it. And I can guarantee that 100% of the money goes strictly towards the tattoo removal for survivors of sex trafficking.
They can go to Give NOLA Day to donate, or they can go to, what is it, unbranded?
They go to unbranded.org, and it's real easy. It's right there on the homepage.
And it's all been thoroughly vetted. You need more equipment, right, Scott?
Well, we actually just got another laser, or the first laser, or donated to us. I purchased the first one myself, but we had a second laser donated to us from a doctor out of Flagstaff, Arizona, who heard about what we were doing, and she wanted to get involved. So we do have another laser now.
Thank you so much for listening to this True Crime Roundup from the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to 1010 Winds in New York, KCBS Radio in the Bay Area, KRLD 1080 in Dallas, KYW News Radio in Philadelphia, Drive Time with DeRussia out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities, the Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, and Tommy Tucker out of WWL in New Orleans. You can find these programs on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can get these true crime roundups by subscribing to the On Deadline podcast, the Who Killed Strawberry podcast, or the Bitter Academia podcast, on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.